Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. And Revelation chapter number 20. Find both of those places. And what I want to do is a little bit different from what I normally do. I want to go to the Lord in prayer first. And then I'll read the scripture and get right into the message this morning. But I'll give you just a moment. I'll listen for the pages to stop turning. Revelation chapter 4 and then Revelation chapter number 20. I'm going to read about 16 or 17 verses this morning. But before we do that, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. And I want you to pray. I want you to participate in the message this morning by praying and asking that God would open your eyes. Would you like to know a little bit about what the future has in store for us? Wouldn't you like to get a glimpse over there? You pray this morning that God would let you get a glimpse over there. Let us get a glimpse. That's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach on look over there. Look over there. And let's pray and ask the Lord together, that He would help us, that He would let us, allow us this morning to get a look over there. And I believe it'll be a blessing and a help to you. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your many blessings that You've given to us. God, this has been on my heart all week. I've been excited about coming and preaching what You've given unto me. And Lord, I pray and I ask this morning that You would just help us by the power of the Holy Ghost to, number one, get everything of this world and time and what goes on after the service and tomorrow. God, just help us for a little while this morning to just get all of that stuff off of our minds and just look in the Word of God. And I pray You'd help us to concentrate, and that the Spirit of God would illuminate our minds and our spirit this morning. And just help us to get a good look at what the children of God have in store for them that's been saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us this morning. Anybody that's here that's lost, I pray You'd convict them and show them their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray we have many objects upon our mind, many things to pray about. God, You know each and every one. We especially are praying for Sister Manda and her father, Dan. God, that You'd touch him today. Lord, if it would be Your will and raise him up. Lord, we know You're able to do all things. We pray for Sister Ronna. God, that You'd touch her. Lord, we know many, and I'd leave people out. But God, we know You're the great physician. Lord, I'm glad we are headed for a time and a place that's fairer than day, where there'll be no sickness will touch there, no death. Thank You, Lord, for that. Now just have Your will and Your way and speak to our hearts. We'll thank You for all that You do. We ask for Your help right now in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's begin reading this morning in Revelation chapter number 4. In verse number 1, I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll go over into chapter 5, and then into chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 4, and verse number 1, I think most of you know this is talking about after the church age. And John said, after this I looked. Now, I've underlined these. I want you to notice how many times he looked, how many times he saw, how many times he beheld what was going on. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That's the rapture of the church. Come up here, I'm going to show you some things. Chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And that's a key verse to what I'm going to preach on this morning. He said, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now look over at chapter number 20. And we'll read the first 6 verses there. In chapter 20 and verse 1 again, he said, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's my favorite scripture in all the Word of God, and that lets us know a little bit about the future that God has for His children. Now, I've studied now for many years, and I remember when I first started about Revelation and the Old Testament prophecies and things along these lines. It has been explained by many preachers that them Old Testament prophets, when they looked down through time and they seen the future, that actually what they had a vision of was a mountaintop vision. And what I mean by that is, if you read about Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Zephaniah and Zechariah and some of them fellas, that what they seen was that it was like they were on a mountaintop from where they were at, and they viewed over and they seen another mountaintop in the kingdom age. They seen the millennial reign of Christ. And so they seen from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. But they didn't necessarily see what was down in that valley, and that's the church age. That was a mystery unto them, that the Jews would reject the Lord Jesus Christ and not accept them as their king, and God in His mercy and His goodness would graft in a Gentile dog people that would become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't see and understand all that. They seen from mountaintop to mountaintop, and they seen more about the kingdom age than we even read and know and understand in the New Testament time and what we just read here in the book of Revelation. But it's been my prayer and my thought for about the past week, since I think God specifically laid this thought on my heart last Monday night. But my prayer has been that by the power of the Holy Ghost, we could go together to one of those mountaintops like the Old Testament prophets, and we could look over there into that kingdom age and see some things. And so that's my prayer this morning. You know, we spend a lot of time looking around, don't we? We look over there. We look over there to Washington and Raleigh and what's going on. You know, that's sort of disheartening to look over there. We spend a lot of time looking over there. I know I do, probably more time than I ought to. And we spend a lot of time, a lot of people spend a lot of time looking over there to Wall Street and the economy and the ups and the downs and the jobs and the housing and all that stuff. We spend a lot of time looking over there. A lot of people spend a lot of time looking over there to Hollywood and what's going on. And it amazed you this morning, if we really knew how things were spiritually in our country, the amount of people that went to church on Sunday morning and was bored out of their mind and just barely got nothing out of it, but sat there for 2 or 3 hours last Sunday night and watched the Grammys. Wasn't that last Sunday? I thought I've heard some talk about that. You know, we spend a lot of time, people spend a lot of time talking about Hollywood and all of these things, but I promise you this morning, if we could get a real good look over there, what we just read in the book of Revelation, it would change the way we look at things down here. It'd change our life down here. It'd change our love down here. It'd change our look down here. And so that's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach on look over there. And as I look over there, just a few things I want to try to show you this morning. As I look over there, I see the reign of Christ. I see the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we refer to that, and I've already said it this morning, we refer to that as the millennial reign of Christ. We get that from the word a thousand. Millennial, millennium means a thousand. And over there in Revelation chapter number 20, I believe it's 6 times we read over there about 1,000 years. Somebody will come along and they'll say, the word millennium is not in the Bible. Well, no, it's not. But it tells us over there in one place 6 or 7 times that we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's why we call it. You can call it the 1,000-year reign if you want to. You can call it the kingdom age if you want to. It's really not important what you call it, but it is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. And the scene here in Revelation chapter number 5, if we go back there, we see revolves around this 7-sealed book. You'll read after different people and they'll talk about what that book represents, and some people call that the earth's title deed. And I don't know, the Bible says it's a 7-sealed book, and they needed somebody to open the book, and they couldn't find anybody to open the book until the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and He was worthy to open that book. You know, I don't know everything about the Bible, but I know this. I know in Adam we lost it all when he sinned. Not only did mankind fall and come under the curse of sin and death, but do you know the whole world and the whole universe earth begin to fall apart because of sin. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8 that we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together until now. When Adam sinned, he lost more than his soul. He lost it all for you and me, and the whole earth came under a curse. The curse of sin, and he lost it all, but when Jesus died on Calvary, we gained it all back. He bought it all back. He redeemed man's soul. He redeemed us from an eternal place called hell, and he even redeemed the earth, and he's going to renew it one of these days, and it's not going to look like it does now. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, he bought it all back. He paid for it all. He redeemed it all. God has not been derailed in his plan to put man in paradise, and we're going to live there for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, you think about that, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said in verse 4, it said, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And one of the elders, now the elders is the church, that's us. We're going to be there in heaven and we're going to see this going on. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain," past tense. He's alive in heaven right now. Don't worry about that. But he knew who that was that stood up to take that book. Said, "Which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth?" And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Boy, I like that. And he's going to open up that 7-seal book, and tribulation is going to come down upon this world, and it's going to go through a purifying time during the time of the tribulation and everything. But you know, we're living in a day and a time where there's a whole lot of talk about the different governments of the world and people talking about democracy this and democracy that. But I've got good news for you this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, over there there'll be no democracy. There's going to be a theocracy. You know what that means? That means rule by God and no other. We're going to a time in this world where God's going to rule the world. And there'll be no democracy. There'll be no republic. There'll be nothing like that. Look over in your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 9. Now, keep your place there. And we're going to turn some places this morning. And it might take a little longer to turn there, but I believe you'll get a blessing out of it. Isaiah chapter number 9. We are headed for a theocracy where God will rule the world, where Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, and he'll rule the world. He'll rule the world. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, now a lot of times we use this for Christmas, and it is talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it goes beyond the birth to the kingdom. It said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, we read over there that the government is going to be upon his shoulder. And we read about the titles that he has, and he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and many places we could go and look this morning. Revelation 19 and 15, when the Lord comes back just before the millennial kingdom, it said, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The Bible tells us over there that when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Say, preacher, I thought everything's going to be perfect over there. Why does he have to rule the nations with a rod of iron? That's a good question. Now, I don't have time to go everywhere and explain everything this morning, but I'm going to give you the short answer. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign upon his throne, and things is going to be right, but people's still going to be born. And the people that are born during the millennial reign, they're going to be born just like you and I are. They're going to be born sinners. And anywhere you've got sinners, you've got sin. And there's going to be sinners born in the millennial kingdom. And that's why the Bible says that he will rule them with a rod of iron, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now the big difference is, and here's where the blessing is. You say, preacher, I don't like that. I thought we was going to a place where there is no sin. Well, we are, but it's not yet. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign where there will be people born in this world. They'll be born sinners, but the big difference is they'll not be allowed to act out their sin like they do today, because he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. When a sinner will rise up and want to do something wicked and ungodly, if he does that, God will cut him off. God will cut him off. He'll have him cut off. Say, preacher, really? Isaiah 65 and 20 says, the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. God ain't going to put up with no junk in his kingdom. It's a theocracy. We're not voting on it. We're not doing what's politically correct in the eyes of the world right now. But hey, King Jesus is going to take care of sinners. And they're not going to be allowed to act out. And the government is going to be on his shoulders. You know what that means this morning to us? I mean, just in a real practical way of looking at things, what that means is we're headed for a time as the children of God where there'll be no politics. Hey, man, y'all are just shouting, running around the house right there. There'll be no politics. There'll be no politicians. There's going to be positions, but they're not going to be elected positions. They're going to be appointed positions. There'll be no throwing nobody out. There'll be no voting nobody out either, because anybody that's in a place of authority is going to be there by his appointment. You read and study in the Bible. My goodness, I don't have time. You read over there about being faithful. And he had one servant that wasn't faithful. And he said, take what's his, give him to that faithful and over there, and I'm going to give him 10 cities to rule over. I believe that's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. There'll be no politics over there, be no politicians, be no scandals, be no pork money, be no liberal activist judges over there. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Things are going to be done right. Be no elections over there, praise the Lord. There'll be no ACLU writing letters telling people they can't pray in Jesus' name over there. Amen, I like that. They're not going to be allowed over there. They're not going to rip their head over there. There'll be sinners over there. And they might want to do that in their heart, but I'm telling you, government's going to be different. God's going to say, we ain't going to have none of that over here. I'll cut you off. I'll cut you off and send you to hell. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Hey, it gets better. It's better than that. There ain't going to be no politicians over there. There ain't going to be no... Hey, I was looking in the newspaper yesterday, and there I seen that ungodly mess again. I turned over, and there's that Marine, and that boy jumped on that Marine and kissing on the mouth. There ain't going to be none of that over there. There ain't going to be allowed over there, amen. You say, oh, preacher, you're going to get us all in trouble. Hey, I'm telling you, in God's kingdom, there ain't gonna be none of that over there. There ain't gonna be no homosexual movement. Hey, there ain't gonna be no Islam rising up. There ain't gonna be no atheists coming along saying you can't pray, you can't have your Bible. None of that's gonna be over there, cause King Jesus is gonna be ruling and it's gonna be reigning. Oh, it gets even better than that this morning. I'm telling you, there ain't gonna be no Democrats and no Republicans over there. Praise God. I get so tired of all that mess and fighting in this life. There ain't gonna be no European Union over there. There ain't gonna be no United Nations over there. Just King Jesus and His way. Psalms chapter number 2 says that the kings of the earth come together and they have a little conference. And they say, let us cast his bands asunder and break away from him, and we'll uprise and rebel. And the word of God says that the Lord will laugh at them and he'll have them in derision. I'm telling you, there ain't going to be none of that over there. Hey, there ain't going to be no Obama over there. There ain't going to be no Hillary over there. Amen. I'm tired of seeing her ugly face. I'm tired of hearing that crowd talking and running their mouth. Ain't gonna be no Clinton over there. Ain't gonna be no Bush over there. It's just gonna be the Lord Jesus over there. He's gonna rule the whole world. The whole world one of these days. The reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't gonna be no George Soros over there. There ain't gonna be no Acorn over there. There ain't gonna be none of that stuff over there. Just the Lord. His people ruling and reigning with Him. You say, preacher, I don't know if I like that or not. I don't think you ought to say things like that. Well, if that's the way you feel about it, you might ought to check up, because if you don't love the thought of that, you might not be going there. I love the thought of that. I love thinking about that. Hey, over there's just going to be the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look over there, I see there's coming a time things are going to be right. I see the reign of Christ. I see, second of all, this thing when I look over there. I like this. I see the reversal of the curse. Our world is under a curse, and it's not getting better. There's a curse upon this world. It's the curse of sin. That's why there's death. That's why every government in the world is falling all to pieces, is because of the curse. That's why there's sin. That's why there's death. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time where the curse is going to be reversed. The Bible says, and I'll go through many things as quickly as I can this morning, but you know what? I read over there this morning in Isaiah chapter number 55 where the thorns is going to be turned into trees and the briars is going to turn into myrtle trees. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine working and not having to mess with the thorns? The thorns is going to be taken away during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I read in the Word of God where the desert shall blossom as the rose, Isaiah 35. I read in Amos chapter 9 that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. And the Word of God says there'll be so much jobs, there'll be so many jobs and so much industry that they'll run out of plowshares and they'll say, well, we got a bunch of swords that we don't need no more, and we'll turn them swords into plowshares. There'll be no war. No war like we think about. I'll tell you what, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. God's world is going to be so productive that when they're going through and they're harvesting the corn, and there will be somebody behind them saying, get out of my way, we got to plow this up and plant something else. There's a lot of healthy people to feed in the world. Nobody's going hungry. Amen. Amen. The plowman is going to overtake the reaper, and the desert is going to blossom like a rose. And the Bible said in Zechariah 8:5, I like this, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That's about a gone thing in our country today. Adults is so wicked and ungodly and so to the place where you can't even let your children play outside without watching them all the time. But I tell you, over there, children will be able to play in the street and they won't nobody bother them. They won't nobody molest them. They won't nobody lust after them. They won't nobody abduct them and haul them off. It won't be allowed over there. Nobody dare do it. If they thought it down in the deepest, darkest part of their heart, they wouldn't act upon it because they know they wouldn't get away with it. Children's going to play in the streets. Word of God says, Isaiah 61, righteousness and praise shall spring forth before all nations. If there is such thing as a radio, there won't be no ungodliness on it. It'll all be godly, uplifting Christian music. Won't be no Christian rock music over there. It'll just be praise and thanks unto God. Everywhere you go, there'll be a sweet sound from heaven. It's going to be good. I'm telling you, it's going to be good over there. When I look over there, I see that the nations are going to praise Him. It's going to be good. It's going to be righteous. It's going to be holy and pure and peaceful and prosperous and plentiful. The reversal of the curse, it's going to be protected. Nobody's going to mess it up. It's going to be perpetuated. It's going to go on for 1,000 years. I can't even imagine that. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Our country's just 230 some years old. It seems like ancient history to me to read back, but it's going to last 1,000 years. If we went back 1,000 years, we'd be in the middle of the Dark Ages. The year 1012. Does anybody remember anybody back then? Anybody know anybody or really trace your family history back that far? I doubt it. You might know the general area. Hey, I'm telling you, that's a long time. And it's going to get better after that. There's going to be the reign of Christ. There's going to be the reversal of the curse. And here's something God showed me. I'd never really thought about this or really seen this like this before. But number three, when I look over there, what I see the reward of the Christian. The reward of the Christian. Here in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4, the Bible said, "And I saw thrones. They sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's the rapture. That's you and I. I'm looking, I'm hoping, I'm wanting to go out in the rapture. I want to see the Lord. I don't want to die. I want to be raptured. I want to hear the trump of God. That's the first resurrection. "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. The first resurrection, we are going to reign with Him 1,000 years. Revelation 5 and 10. That's where I started out this morning. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." We shall reign on the earth. You ought to underline that this morning. To live in the millennium. When I look over there, I see the reward of the Christian. I want to say just a little bit about rewards this morning. Look in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And this is a subject that I struggled to condense and get into a frame where I could preach a message and it makes some sense to you. But I want to just show you something this morning about rewards. What the Bible says, I've got three little things about rewards. Simply put this morning, rewards are going to be received at the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. What the Word of God says, Paul says over there, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You know, we've got a part in that. If we have anything to do with getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're either planting or watering. We got a little part in this work. And we're one. Some may plant, others may reap. Doesn't matter to me, just so we're doing something for God. And he can bless it, whether we're planting, whether we're watering, whether we're reaping. He said, we are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You will be rewarded according to your labor. That's what the Word of God says. That word reward means pay for service. We're going to get paid for this thing. I'm not in it for the pay, but thank God, one of these days, by God's amazing grace, we're going to get paid for what we do. He said in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, we're headed to a judgment. And our work is either going to go through the fire and last, or it's going to go through the fire and be burned up. That's what the Bible's teaching us right there. Of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You won't receive a reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's what we talk about, just getting in by the skin of one's teeth. Didn't do nothing for God, just saved. And there'll be people like that at the judgment seat of Christ, wasted their life. Got nothing, done nothing, but they'll go to heaven. They'll be in the millennial reign, but they won't get no reward. Rewards will be, number one, received at the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, rewards are represented in the Bible as crowns. We sing a lot of songs about that. Crowns and wearing crowns and getting crowns. Many crowns are mentioned in the Bible. There's the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Paul said they do what they do to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That means one that won't rot, one that won't fade away, one that won't go away. The Bible talks about other crowns. There's a crown of life for enduring temptation in James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Have you ever thought this morning that there are people that it seems like it's just trial after trial after trial? What purpose is this? To shine for God in a dark day. And you endure and you go through that trial. You know what? You know what? You're going to get paid for that one day. There'll be a crown for those that are faithful during temptations and trials in their lives. And the Word of God talks about for enduring temptation. I like 1 Peter 5 and 4. There's the faithful pastor's crown. It said he'll receive a crown of glory from the chief shepherd that fadeth not away. That makes me want to stick with the stuff. I read in the Word of God about a martyr's crown in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. And the Lord Jesus told the church at Philadelphia to hold fast that no man take thy crown. Crowns are going to be received. Our rewards are represented by crowns. But not every person who goes to heaven will have a crown. Not every person that goes through the judgment seat of Christ, although they'll be saved, they will not have a crown. They will have no reward. That's why the Lord told the church at Philadelphia, hold fast that no man... Don't lose your crown. Don't lose your crown. It's going to get tough before you go, but don't lose your crown. Stick in there. God's saying, stick in there. It's going to be worth it. You don't want to lose your crown. I'm telling you this morning, you don't want to lose your crown. Those who do get a crown. Look over in Revelation chapter number 4. Say, preacher, what are we going to do with them crowns? We're going to do something with them crowns. Revelation chapter number 4. Now John's in heaven. He's looking around. He's seeing what's going on. The rapture just took place. The trumpet was talking with him. Said, come up hither. Now Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10. The word of God says there. Said the 24 elders, that's the church, by the way. One more time, that's us. We're there. What are we going to do? The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so we that have crowns, if you get a crown, a reward, you'll cast it at the feet of Jesus. Boy, I mean, because you know what? It's not because of us, it's because of Him. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I can't water. I can't make something grow. I can have a little part in it and God can give the increase. We get a little part in that and we'll get a little reward in that. If we've been faithful and done what God's asked us to do in this life, and if we do that, we'll get a crown and we'll cast that crown at His feet because He's worthy. It's all because of Him. We're just going to heaven because of Him and His shed blood. But I will show you something this morning. That's not the end of the thing. I think a lot of people think, well, you get a crown, you cast it at His feet, and then what after that? That's not the end of it. Rewards are received at the judgment seat of Christ. They are represented by crowns, but number three, the reward of the Christian is to reign during the millennial. To reign with Him. That's what He said in chapter 5, verse 10. You may have cast your crown at His feet. And I don't know, I've thought about this. Maybe God says, hey, I give them to you. Just pick them back up. We still got work to do. Maybe He keeps them. I don't know. It's never mentioned again after this. But I do know that that's not the end of it. We shall reign on the earth. Chapter 5, verse 10. The reward of the Christian will be to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, the crowns are not just trophies. They're not just trophies. You know, when I was a little kid, I played baseball, and one of the highlights of the season was at the end of the season, and you get your little trophy, and you take your little trophy home, and you set it up on the shelf, and it sits there and collects dust, and you add to and add to, and when you leave home, they put them in a box. They're in the attic. It don't mean much to you no more. That crown's not a trophy. It's not something to just set up on the shelf and forget about. It's just not a token of something for a job done good. It's not like you retired after 25 years and got a watch and you wear it and it dies and you forget about it. That's not what this is. These crowns that we receive, they represent positions of authority during the millennial reign. They represent positions of authority. They represent prominence and reward to be had during the millennial reign. I thought about this. Yes, the crowns will be cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Word of God says that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. For all of the millennial reign, if you received a crown, if you received an incorruptible crown, if you held your crown that nobody takes it away, then for the 1,000 years, everybody will know just by looking at you, who you are, what you've done, if you've done. They'll know by your where you reign at. To reign means to have authority over things. They'll know. That crown of glory does not fade away. You and I are, there's more to this than we ever thought about. We are living for God right now. We don't think about it very much, but I'm telling you, there's a reward. These Christians going to reign with Him. They're going to have authority over cities. They're going to have positions of influence. They're going to rule and reign with Him. They're going to be kings with Him. He's the king, but we're going to be kings and rule with Him. He said, I'll make a temple and I'll put your name on it. And there'll be a throne there. Read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's going to be positions. It's going to be your reward during the millennial reign. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Word of God says this. Paul's telling the Corinthians, he's saying, don't take each other to court. Don't sue each other. He said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 2, he said, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? He says in verse number 4, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the angels? Now let me say something there. It's the saints, not the ants. The saints shall judge the world, not the ants. Now, you say, ain't a word. But you know what I'm saying this morning? They ain't faithful. They ain't friendly. They ain't following. They don't have enough fidelity to the Lord Jesus Christ. They ain't going to judge the world. Say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, you better get to doing something for God. Amen. You're going to shine shoes for 1,000 years. It don't matter to me. I'll tell you, I'd like to do a little more for my Lord. I'd like to have a crown to cast at His feet. I'd like to be involved in this reward of the millennium to serve God during that time. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2 and 12. He said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we suffer, we shall reign with Him. I don't know too many people that's too excited about suffering for the Lord. But we may be accommodated before this thing's over. I dreamed the other night, Monday night, you know what I'm saying, it's just a dream. But I dream, sometimes I wish I could preach like I've dreamed that I've preached. I preached and God just give it to me. And by the time I got done, it was way past 1 o'clock and nobody even cared. I'm telling you, God was there. But I was in prison when I done it. I hope that wasn't a prophetic dream. But I was in prison when I done it. Paul said, if we suffer, we'll reign with Him. This life is just a short little time we're passing through. The Bible tells us this about the millennial reign of Christ. I've got to go on. It says in Isaiah 11 and 9, it says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth is going to know about God. During the millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be no competition whatsoever. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. I have always heard and even thought that, you know, there'll come a time, Brother Melvin, when we won't preach no more. We won't have to. Everybody will just know. But I got to doing some studying, sort of messed up my theology. Studying will do that. It'll mess your message up. How is the world going to know? What does God do to get His Word out? He hadn't changed down through the ages. How's the whole earth going to be full of the knowledge of God, preacher? How's that going to come about? I got to thinking and studying about that. I believe the reward of the Christian will be to serve God in a glorified body for 1,000 years long, in a body that'll never die, in a body that won't get tired, won't get sick. And I'll tell you, people will appreciate it. I believe that'd be a reward. I love preaching. I love the ministry, but it has its problems. But thank God, what a reward it'd be to serve and there not be them problems. Just go and preach the Word of God and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as a church, you know what? That'd just be what we do. We just tell people about God and keep things straight. Serve Him, love Him. I spend a day out west and I might go over to Jerusalem during the time of the new moon, worship and praise God over there, and I'll get my next place to go, and me and Brother Dale and the choir and all of us, we'll go out and tell a bunch of these new humans that have been born during that time about God. Brother Benny Carper said he's going to have the bright spot hour and he's going to share it with his grandpa, Dr. Siler. Say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, look in Isaiah chapter number 52. Let me show you something the Lord showed me over there. I was thinking about that. Do you think we'll really have preaching and singing and telling people about God during the millennial reign? I sort of believe that we will. I believe that'd be the reward of the Christian to be able to serve and not be burdened down with all of this stuff. It breaks our hearts and kills us. I know preachers, their church is about to kill them. Worrying them and wearing them to death. Leaving. Won't come. Talking about them. I'll tell you. Isaiah chapter number 52. Do you know, Brother Jason, when he surrendered to preach, he read out of Romans chapter number 10. And there's that passage of scripture over there that talks about, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the tidings of peace. You remember that over there? We've all heard about preachers having beautiful feet. Do you know what? If a bunch of us men took our shoes and our socks off this morning and stood behind the curtain, you couldn't tell my feet from anybody else's feet. They're all ugly. They're all ugly, you know. You could have a preacher and a deacon and a Sunday and somebody in the choir. And, you know, you could have all of us. And if you couldn't tell by looking at their feet, could you? Oh, you couldn't tell. And just to be honest, most people in the world today, they're not thrilled to death. They don't look, you know, and say, oh, here comes a preacher. How beautiful are his feet. We're glad the preacher's here. That's not how the world acts. Hey, the church don't even want to hear what the preacher's got to say sometimes. But you know, it says as it is written in Romans chapter number 10. So that tells me that it's written somewhere else and it's in Isaiah chapter number 52, what that's referring to. Let's read a few verses here. Isaiah 52 and verse 1 says, awake, awake. And you know what? It says, the heading in my Bible, it says, vision of Jerusalem in the kingdom age. This is talking about the millennial reign. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money, for thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. He's given some history here. He said, now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. My name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, hey, there's a change coming. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day. That's talking about the millennial reign. They'll know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Isn't that what we've been preaching now for all these years? Trying to get them to see. One day they're going to see. One day they're going to see. I was studying about that, how beautiful upon the mountains, and one of the commentaries I've got, Treasury Scripture Knowledge, says this about it. It said this is a highly poetical expression for how welcome is his arrival. How welcome is his arrival. How agreeable are the tidings which he brings. They'll say, boy, here comes the preacher. Here comes the bride. Here comes the kings and the priests. They're going to visit with us. They're going to come and tell us about our God. The knowledge of the Lord is going to fill the whole earth. And there's not going to be a place where they don't know about God. And I believe with all my heart we're going to be allowed to go and spread the good message of salvation. They just one way to be saved. And that's trusting in the Lord Jesus. Them sinners that are born during the millennial reign, do you know what? They're going to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we're going to get to tell them about it. Well, I like to think about that. Can you imagine? I mean, honest to goodness. Preacher Carl has told me before. He said when I was a young preacher, you could go to church and preach. He said if you was having a revival, you'd worry if everybody'd fit in the church. Preacher, get up and preach a little bit of something, not like we have preaching now. He said the preacher could get up and preach just a little bit and people would come and get saved. And now you can preach your lungs out. And oh, every once in a while somebody will get in. But I'll tell you, the reward of the Christian would be to serve God during the millennial reign. And go and preach somewhere and the whole village and the whole city come out. Hear about God. And them young'uns come and get saved and serve God. And all the singing and the serving and the living for God. And just the joy of it all and seeing God work in people's lives. And them live right and not rebel on God. And things go good and death be gone. And hey, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be the reward of the Christian. I mean, it's not just getting a crown and setting it on the shelf. I'm glad there's going to be something good to do to occupy our time. And you know what? It's all going to be government sponsored. Amen. Go somewhere for the Lord. I'm on the King's business. And people's going to listen to you. And when you come into town, they're going to see them beautiful feet and they're going to say, I'm glad. They're here. I got some questions about that book. We're going to study that book for 1,000 years. I believe it'd sort of spoil it if you just automatically knew everything. Daniel knew God and talked to angels and he still studied that book. And all of them, I'm telling you, that's going to be the reward of the Christian is going to be to serve God during the millennial reign of Christ. And it's all going to be government sponsored, the reward of the Christian. Last of all, this morning, I'm going to close by saying this. When I look over there, I see also it's going to be the remorse of the carnal. I believe people's going to live during the millennial reign that was sorry they didn't serve God in this little window of opportunity that we have. You say, preacher, I don't know. I thought we was going to go to heaven. We was going to shout and praise God and just float around on clouds and play harps and you know all that bunch of stuff you've watched on cartoons growing up. That is not how it's going to be. The Bible says that there are those that will stand before Him ashamed. Read 1 John. That will be ashamed before Him at His coming. It would be a shame not to get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You'd be ashamed to stand there and watch as those that live for God here cast their crown before the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul told Timothy, if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll deny us. I always thought about that in relation to salvation, but could it be that He will deny us a reward? If we deny Him, He'll deny us. You'll not get a reward. People say, oh, I'd be glad to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. You know what? That sounds real spiritual. That's right out of the Bible. I think it's Psalms 84. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. He wasn't talking about the millennial reign of Christ. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said, I'd rather be saved and sweep the floor in the temple than I would to live with that wicked, ungodly bunch out there. That's what David was saying. People say, well, heaven, I'll just be satisfied. Could you be satisfied to sweep the street for 1,000 years as God's heroes rode by on white stallions? And you stood there and said, I've never done nothing for God. Sat there and watched ball games and didn't even like to go to church. And yes, I'm saved. I'm here, I think. But the tears won't be wiped away to Revelation 21. Read it when you get home. I believe it'll be the remorse of the carnal. Now let me tell you, and I'll be done this morning. These people, they give up. They say, I messed up. My life's messed up. Can't do nothing for God in this life. And just sort of sat on the sidelines. Let me tell you something. We're not even at halftime yet. It's a shame. You got to relate everything to a carnal ball game. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of good players gets knocked out in the first quarter. But if they'll hang around, they might get back in the second quarter. We're not at halftime yet. We're not at halftime. You say, preacher, I messed up. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do what you can do. Be faithful unto death. Live for God. Have faith. Tell others about Jesus. Anybody can do that. And let God give you something at the judgment seat of Christ. He can get you back in the ball game during the millennial reign. Might be a whole lot different who you see riding around on horses with crowns on during the millennial reign than you saw down here. It'd be the remorse of the carnal. Don't tell me. I don't believe that. I don't like to think about people that didn't do nothing for God in this life. Going to heaven and getting by just by the skin of their teeth. They'll be sorry. They'll be sorry. If there's a God in heaven that makes everything right, they will be sorry. And there is a God in heaven that makes things right. You know, I can't do anything about where we are in time. I know that the end of this age has to come, and I know certain things have to come, but what I'm responsible for is my stand, and what you're responsible for is our stand. If we're going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of people, they've already quit. There's no place to quit. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.